Good evening.
I thought tonight we would do a review of the birth of Christ in view of the Advent, the remembrance of the Advent. And I don't have what you would call a, quote, sermon. We're just going to talk some. And I'm going to give you a handout after it's over, after tonight. And back when I used to do a lot of presentations for the telephone company, they taught you don't give your handouts out because that's all, they'll just read them and they won't be listening to you. I've debated in my mind whether to do that. It might help you to have it. But anyway, I want to talk about the birth of Christ, and this won't be comprehensive in the sense that we deal with all the aspects of it. I've been meditating afresh, rereading some things that I've read many times, and it's such a staggering thought. If you really see what the Scriptures present to us that happened, God becomes a man. And why? And all of that's involved in the birth of Christ. Well, the Scriptures tell us about the Son of God, the Word. Everybody knows the John 1:1 passage, in the beginning was the Word. There's always been the Word with God, face to face with God. God, co-equal, co-eternal. And in the fullness of time, in God's time, the Word became flesh. He took on Himself a human form. True man. Not an appearance of a man like appearing to Abraham, other appearances. I read this today, the reason it's on my mind. Those appearances could not die. The one who became flesh so he could die. And the Old Testament, there's probably, I tried to count them one time and I lose my place, but by most authorities, there's at least 40, maybe 44 Old Testament prophecies concerning Christ. And in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, He is the Messiah. And in the Greek language, He is the Christ. And those words mean the same thing. They mean the Anointed One. And Micah tells us, we'll look at this in more detail in a few minutes, but Micah tells us where this one was to be born, in Bethlehem. Kind of a survey of the Old Testament prophecies, not all 40 of them, but just some of them that jump out to me. The New Testament references to them. Mark starts out, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. And I say this all the time. You cannot understand the prophets unless you see that the prophets were about Jesus Christ. They had other things they talked about, but that's what Revelation tells us. Revelation 19:10 says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So whatever else prophecy means to somebody, if they don't see Jesus Christ in it, they're not understanding the prophets. The passage in Genesis 3:15, when I mention the verse, I know everybody in this room immediately knows the verse. That's encouraging. But I will put enmity between thee. The Lord is speaking to Satan in the presence of Adam and Eve. And he says, I will put enmity, that means hatred, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. Crushing, destroying the head of the serpent, of the seed of the serpent. And thou shalt bruise his heel, his humanity. The heel is the weakest part of our body. You can prove that if you want to. Hurt your heel and it'll hurt all over. On through the scriptures referring to the promise made to Abraham, that through his seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And then Paul is very careful in Galatians to tell us the importance of a single word in the scripture. Not plural seeds, but the seed is Christ. That's the promise made to Abraham. Isaiah writes about a sign. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. As somebody else has pointed out, it wasn't unusual for a young woman to have a son, a child. And some of the bad translations of the scripture will not translate this word virgin. They translate it young woman. That's not a startling thing. That would not require a behold. But when a virgin bears a son, that's startling. And something miraculous is going on for that to occur. I can't give the attribution to whoever wrote this, but it's worth reading, I think. The Old Testament tells of a divine human person, divine hyphen human person, clothed in our human nature as the seed of woman, yet everlasting ruler. When he came to his own, the Jews, they misunderstood the scriptures and were looking for an earthly king to deliver them from the Romans and to make them great among the peoples of the earth. Messiah, or Christ, of the Old Testament and Jesus of Nazareth are one and the same. Jesus is the perfect fulfillment of all the messianic prophecies. His divine human person, two natures in one person, the place and manner of his birth, his teaching, his miracles, his suffering, his death, his burial, his resurrection, the redemption which he accomplished, and the nature of the kingdom he established are all in perfect harmony. The forerunner of the Christ, John the Baptist, he was a person of prophecy. Isaiah prophesied that there would be one. And Malachi said Elijah would come. And Jesus says that John was the Elijah that was to come. We could look all these verses up. I'm sure they're familiar to you. What I'd like to do before I go into a very brief thing here, let's just read the text and go back. Turn first of all to Luke. Luke chapter 1. At verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And if you know your Old Testament, you know which angel came to Daniel and announced almost 500 years ahead of time that this was going to happen. Gabriel. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And here's the word "behold." I don't guess I have to explain this every time I read it, but it impresses me. The word "behold" means, look at this. It's not just by the way. This is startling. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Mary was a virgin. Just a typical young Jewish girl. Nothing miraculous about Mary. God chose her and favored her. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One if I remember correctly, that's the same word as the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle in the temple. The most holy place. The Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." And we could review the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, and they had prayed for a child and had given up on the idea probably that they were old. And the angel appears to Zacharias and says, "You're going to have a son." And he comes out of the behind the curtain, and he's dumb. He can't speak. But he writes out his name is John. And then verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And I was just reading a commentary by Charles Alexander today. And he points out, this is one of the most remarkable acts of faith that's recorded in the scriptures. This young girl being told what's going to happen to her, and she says, let it be. Submission. And in that culture, it's not such a big deal today, but in that culture, that unmarried girl with child, disgrace and shame, and she knew all that. But let it be according to your word. And in the genealogies, I won't read these to you, but I suggest you look at them sometime. In Matthew, the Matthew genealogy, Jesus has the legal right to the throne of David. In the Luke account, his lineage to the throne of David through Mary is humanity. And an interesting note, the Jews never challenged Jesus' right to the Davidic throne. They didn't believe he was a Messiah, but he was a son of David. The genealogical records were there. And that until the temple was destroyed in AD 70 and all the records were lost, they were there for him. They couldn't deny that. Continuing to read in the Luke passage, skip down to chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. All of the people all over that territory had to go to their city of birth and be counted. A census was taken. That just happened, didn't it? Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. How in the world are you going to get a carpenter and his betrothed who live in Nazareth in Galilee? They had no reason to go to Jerusalem, Bethlehem. Now they did. There's the law. They got to obey the law, and they had to go to the city of their birth, Bethlehem. And this census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I-double-N. And some of the things that I've read, if you were going to design something like this, and a king was going to be born, would you have him born, wouldn't you have him born in a palace? Well, that's where the wise men came to find him. They went to the palace looking for the king. Well, he wasn't there. But he was born and placed in a feed trough in a cow shed. The creator of the universe. What a story. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And there's another, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so you have the story Walter, Brother Walter, preached about the shepherds, I think. Maybe it was last Christmas time or the time before. But Joseph and Mary must go to Bethlehem, where the Christ is to be born, and Caesar Augustus had decreed a census tax. They obey the law, and I'm gonna skip over this because I got another way of looking at this. I'm gonna give you all this in a few minutes. Let me do it this way. This is kind of a running summary. I've already mentioned some of this, but before there was anything but God, if you can use terms like eternity past, I don't know if that has meaning or not, but before there was time, before there was a creation, there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to put these things on a timeline. I didn't draw a line, and I started to do it that way, and it got too complicated. So on this thing I'm going to give you, each of these collections of things happened at the same time. And that's how I did it. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. This is about 4 B.C. Now that, how can he be born before Christ? Well, the calendar's wrong. That's a very simple mistake was made. But Luke, in his precision, gives the exact time when this happened. The governor of Syria and the king and all of those things can be determined. And so based on, not on our calendar, but on, it was about 4 years before what we call, it wasn't a year zero, but the first year there. The Word was made flesh. The shepherds see the glory of God and go to see the Christ in the manger in Bethlehem. All of this is happening at the same day. And the shepherds leave immediately to proclaim the good news. And at the same time, the Magi, the wise men, the astrologers, see a star and they start their trip. A king has been born. And they start out to find this king. And all of that happened like on day one. Jesus is circumcised the eighth day while they're still in Bethlehem. Brother, who brought the message about under Brother Jim did, about everything under the law, complete obedience to the law of God. So on the eighth day in Bethlehem, the child is circumcised. After 33 more days, and I could give you all of the Leviticus references and the Exodus references and all that, but I won't do it here. But 33 days later, for a male child, Mary goes to the temple in Jerusalem. She has to present herself for her purification, ceremonial purification, 33 days after the circumcision. And I try not to be flippant with this, but if it's a female child, it's 66 days. And I've never read a good answer for that, except the little, almost too cute answer that women are twice as bad as men, so it takes twice as long for their purification to occur, her purification. Somebody can work that out. Anyway, Mary's offering is a turtle dove. Under the law, the poor, if they could not afford a goat, a ram, a lamb, they were allowed to offer the turtle dove. And this indicates that I don't know that Joseph was destitute or anything of the sort. He was a carpenter, made probably a pretty good living. But it would seem to say pretty strongly that the Magi had not come and given them gold, frankincense, and myrrh, or they could have afforded something above a turtle dove. That would seem to hold up. All at this same time, the child is presented to Simeon. You know the story of Simeon? Wonderful story there. The Holy Spirit had told him he would not die until he had seen the consolation of Israel. And there's this old man with a little bitty baby. I just love this picture in my mind. He said, I can die now. I've seen the consolation. What faith? What? This little baby. He didn't have any halo around his head and nothing to indicate that he was different than any other baby. But by faith, Simeon saw who he was. He knew who he was. And then Anna. And you have that going on in the temple. And immediately after this, Joseph and Mary returned to Nazareth. I'm not going to read you the chapter. I would ask anybody that wants to do this study to take the passages of Scripture and carefully work down through them and check these things off and see when they occurred and see if this is not does not hold up. Well, I mentioned the Magi have started out when they saw the star that occurred when the shepherds were visited and they came to the manger, and they started out, but they come to visit King Herod and they ask to see this new king, and that troubled Herod a lot. He didn't want a new king anywhere. Of course, we know that the King Jesus was not the kind of king Herod was concerned about. But he inquires diligently, the scripture says, of the time when the wise men saw the star. And he also learns where this king should be born. In Bethlehem, not in Jerusalem, not in the palace, but in Bethlehem. Well, the Magi start out for Bethlehem. They want to go see this new king. But they see the star, and they follow the star, not 2 years later to a manger in Bethlehem, but to a house in Nazareth, where a young child, according to the scripture, a young child, not an infant. And on this handout I'm going to give you all of the pictures that I've seen, the representations of the nativity and so on. This is the only one I've ever found, and it's going to be on this handout I'm going to give you. But it shows the Magi at a house with a young child. All of the manger scenes I've ever seen, other than this one, the Magi are standing at the manger, and that just couldn't be. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings or destroy your Christmas or anything of the sort. We're just talking about what the Scripture says. The Magi worship Christ, and they give him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we're not told how many Magi there were. The tradition says there were three because there were three gifts. Who knows? There were more than one of them. Three's okay. I mean, probably was three. I don't know. But they leave immediately. The Magi do. They had made a deal with Herod. They were going to go worship, see this king, and they would come back and tell him. And they didn't do that. They tricked Herod. They went home, wherever home was. Herod learns that he's been tricked, and he orders all male children 2 years old and under to be killed. Why 2 years? Yeah, the Magi told him how long they'd been on this trip, and so Herod figured it out that if I kill all the male children 2 years old and younger, I'll get him. So, Joseph is warned about Herod's murder warrant, and Mary and Jesus, they flee into Egypt, and Matthew tells us, so the scripture might be fulfilled, out of Egypt I've called my son. And that's a very brief, not complete at all, but just some ideas. And on this handout also is an artist's picture of the slaughter of the innocents. And that's what that's called when Herod ordered all the male children 2 years old and younger to be killed. That's fairly brief. Anybody got any other comments, observations?
There's a theory that Mary is still a virgin.
Yeah.
A false theory.
Yeah.
And one of the things they say is that Joseph was an older man, they claim.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, if they were poor, if he was a poor man, why did Mary marry him? If he's a poor old man. That's all.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There's a lot of mythology around Mary. The Mariology, the whole Roman Catholic thing. And I always try to say this. Mary's blessed among women. But she's not co-redemptrix. She's not God. So, anybody else?
Yeah. It's only been in the last 5 or 6 years that I've been informed by several contemporary conservative scholars that believe that Mary was just a very young teenager, 13, 14 years old. Have you heard this?
14 was a date that I read somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which was very common in that time. I mean, the families made these arranged marriages, and they were the betrothed, and everybody knows the way this works. They were betrothed, and if you read the account where Joseph is troubled, he had the three options. He could make her a public example, which meant he could have had her stoned. He could put her away privately. He could have divorced her. And that would have been necessary to break up this betrothal. It was as though they were as married as you can be. They just not had consummated that marriage. And so that was the system they were under. But yeah, 14 is about the age that I've read. Which,
being a father of a daughter, I have wondered then how much at ease I would have been to have turned over my 13 or 14 year old girl to go off with another older man and make this journey.
But I think, to me, what I understand about the culture,
mm-hmm.
That was not uncommon at all. In other words, 14, 15 year old women were supposed to get married. In fact, if they were 16 or 17 or 18 weren't married, they were shameful. So it was, her dad would not have had any, I wouldn't think he would have any problem with her, because what we think, being, quote, so young, that was just common there.
What I'm saying is the trip, and she's right on the verge of giving birth.
Yeah.
I would have thought there'd have been some cautionary discrimination used there, as opposed to her out on this journey, probably riding on
a
donkey,
mm-hmm.
and the jostling and everything, and the potentiality of the child being given sudden birth out in that region. As a parent, I would have had some concerns about my daughter going away in a situation like that.
Anybody?
One more thing.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it until just today, but Joseph must have been born in Bethlehem.
Yeah. That was both. It was their city there, because he was the main person. He had to go there to be registered.
Right.
And Mary, too. Mary and Joseph were both from Bethlehem.
Well, what if she hadn't been? Would they have gone to different cities?
Probably.
I don't know.
Speculation.
I'm thinking that maybe the women went with their husband. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know that only the men had to be registered, but I think it was everybody had to be registered. Anybody? Okay.
One more.
Yes, sir.
We'll let you figure this one out. Come back Sunday morning. We'll try to handle this. I'm preaching Sunday.
I got all over the sermon, I'm sure.
Yeah, you just messed everything up. I'll just come in and read the text and we'll go home.
Okay.
Who was Joseph's father? In Matthew, the account in Matthew 1:16, or rather 1:15, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph. In Luke, we read in the fourth chapter, the third chapter, and verse 23, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Joseph got two dads, Jacob and Heli. Want to work that one out?
You're going to answer that Sunday.
I'm going to answer that Sunday. So I'm not going to give you the answer, because you won't come if I give it. But that is something that has to be worked out, that the as to how that comes into play.
I think I know the answer, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, don't.
I'm not going to mess
it
up.
Don't
give
it right away.
Okay. Anybody else?
Something to say.
Gave you something.
why did biblical times have last moon?
Didn't need them, I guess.
Because there wasn't that many people in the world. You know?
When did we? You know? That's a good question,
Joseph.
When did we start having surnames?
Yeah. Isaiah who?
Yeah. Smith.
Elijah who?
Jones. That's enough of that.